Now let's go to Pastor Brian as he picks up where he left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the priority of love.
Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where in verse 8 it speaks about tongues coming to an end or ceasing. In the Church of Jesus Christ, you have some pretty broad views on this subject. You have, to describe the extremes within the church. On the one hand, you have people that say, unless you speak in tongues, you're not even saved. You're not even a Christian. And on the other hand, there's people say it's of the devil if you speak in tongues. So within the church, obviously, we have some pretty different opinions on the use of tongues and its purpose and whether it even exists today and the source of tongues. And so we'll be able to address that as we look within the scriptures. And although that is not the focus of this passage, the focus still is love out of 1 Corinthians 13. And what Paul's trying to emphasize, although we will have to address this issue of tongues in its proper place because it's an issue in the church today, Paul's trying to say is that the gifts, all of them, are going to pass away at some point. But love is going to continue. Love never fails. And that's the thing that's eternal. That's the thing we should be focusing on rather than on these gifts, because they're going to stop someday. They're not going to be needed. But love will always be needed. Love will always be present because the Bible says that God is love. So even on into eternity, love will be present, but the gifts will not be there. And so Paul is saying here, yes, the gifts are important as he listed them in 1 Corinthians 12, and they build up the body of Christ, but there's something so far superior that you can't even compare it to. It's a thing that'll never fail, and that's love. And that's really what the message is you have the temporal and you have the eternal, and the thing that's eternal is what's most important. Doesn't mean these other things aren't important, but what is most important of supremacy is that we would walk in love towards one another. That be filled with the love of God and treat each other in a loving way. And not argue over these issues that would divide us. Isn't it kind of funny that right in the midst of this whole thing of the church bickering and dividing and making divisions over tongues, the 1 Corinthians 13 is the chapter that Paul wants to focus on. And this church at Corinth was missing out big time on this whole issue. They did have a lot of knowledge, as Paul described, and they did have a lot of the gifts that were being manifest, but they didn't have the most important thing, which was the love of God in their midst. And so we need to make sure that we're focusing on the thing that which is eternal. Because in John 13, verse 35, he says, "By this the whole world will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." You know, there's nowhere else in the Bible that I could think of that says this is the thing that unbelievers will know that you're Christians. Doesn't say if you go to church. Doesn't say if you're baptized. Doesn't say if you have a lot of knowledge of the Bible. Doesn't say if you're religious, the way you dress, the way you look, your heights, your wealth or lack of wealth, your intelligence. None of those things, but the Bible does say that if you have love for one another, then the rest of the world will know that truly we are followers of Jesus Christ. So that's the one characteristic. And for some reason, we want to put that aside and we want to make all these other issues of supreme importance and divide over them rather than walking in a loving way. And so love is the thing that's eternal that we need to hold on to. We need to focus and make sure that is the priority of our life. And everything is secondary to that. I mean, once you're a Christian, everything is secondary to that. And the Corinthian church, although they prided themselves in having all this knowledge, they were living their life in very unloving types of ways. Even when it came to the gifts of the Spirit, because he says, what you guys are doing, you're seeking the gifts that benefit you. What you should do is seek the gift that benefit others. That's what love does. Love doesn't seek its own. Love wants to build up and bless other people's lives. But they were so focused on speaking in tongues because that was the one gift that was inward and built the individual up. And that's what they wanted and that's what they coveted. And Paul's saying you're missing the whole point. The gifts of the Spirit are to build up the body of Christ. Those are the things, the ones that you should be excelling in. Now, he's not saying that tongues is bad. He's just saying it has its place. And you guys are raising it up to a level far beyond what God has intended it to be. Then even to the point when they would gather in their services together, it says they would all speak in tongues. And Paul says, don't do that. Because when you have a non-Christian come in, or someone that's uninformed, which is a Christian that doesn't know about the gifts of the Spirit, they are going to think that you are wacko. Now, that's my own translation, but that communicates the idea. And that is so true today that, you know, I love the Pentecostal brothers and sisters. They are one in Jesus Christ with us, but they practice the gift of tongues this way, and they freak people out. They bring fear into people's heart, and they're not walking in spirituality because they're not taking into consideration how other people are going to be impacted by the way we exercise this gift, and it's very unloving to do that. And it's right here within the scriptures. Paul says, don't do that. And the reason is, it's not that it can't be done. It is humanly possible to take place. That's not the point. But it's unloving to inflict that upon other people that don't have understanding. And you bring fear into their heart, and they discredit the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the gift of tongues has its place, and that's what we're going to be looking at when we get to chapter 14. But its place has too much prominence in the church, even to the point where people will divide over their views on it. See, they throw out love, and I got knowledge. That's what Paul says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And that's what was happening to the church at Corinth. They were not walking in love, and so Paul says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, you have this knowledge, and he's talking about this meat that was sacrificed to idols, and part of the church was saying, well, idols are nothing. I could go ahead and eat that meat. But they weren't walking in love, because here's these new Christians coming in. They see you eating this meat that was sacrificed to idols, and they're associating that with worshiping that idol, giving devotion to that idol, and they're stumbling over it, saying, well, is that wrong? Is it right? They look bad at you, and then also their conscience. Maybe that's something they still want to do, and then they stumble into that. And Paul says, if eating meat causes my brother to stumble, I'll never eat meat again, because Paul was walking in love, taking into consideration of other people. And I don't know why people that want to use the gifts of the Spirit can't see this within the Scriptures, because it's so clear that we need to walk in love in everything that we do. That is what's eternal. These things are temporary. They have a place. But what is most important in the Christian life is love. And it's not even memorizing Bible verses. That's an important thing, and that has its place. But if we go through the Bible and we all have all this great knowledge and wisdom, and we're all filled with everything the Bible has to say, but we're not walking in love, we have missed the boat. The focus is love. And that's what Paul gets at in verse 8, where he says, love never fails. And that was used in classical Greek of a flower that would be out in the sun and would begin to dwindle and die and dry, and then the petals would fall off and it would cease to exist. Paul says love never does that. Love is going to go on throughout all eternity, and that's the focus of chapter 13. That's why I spent so much time on it, to show you its value. Again, there's other things that are of good value and of importance, but nothing comes close to love. Paul says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. At the end of the chapter, he says there's faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And we want to get all of them mixed up, and it's so simple in the Bible. Let's focus on walking in love and being loving towards one another and gracious and kind. Love is eternal, but these gifts are going to pass away, as verse 8 says. It says, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Things will be abolished. They're going to come to a complete end. It's a strong word here in the Greek, meaning they're going to stop, never to start back up again. They're going to be completely done away with. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. And whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. The same word for prophecy. Knowledge and prophecy, something's going to cause them to completely stop. That means something else is going to happen where these are no longer necessary or needed. Knowledge and prophecy. He does use an interesting word for tongues. It's a different word. He says it's going to cease. Now, there's a good teacher in the body of Christ that I've learned tremendous amount from, and that's John MacArthur, and he takes a different position than what we do here at Calvary. He says this word cease means it'll cease in itself. It'll just kind of stop existing. It doesn't mean some outward force is going to stop it, like prophecy and tongues. And Paul switched to what is called a middle voice, meaning it's just going to stop by itself. It's going to cease by itself. And he goes on to interpret that as he looks at church history, and he says tongues, as you read through the historical records of the church, it stopped somewhere within the first 400 years, and it doesn't appear again until about 1900. So there's a 1500-year period where the gift of tongues was not written about or discussed, doesn't seem to be used within the Church of Jesus Christ. So he takes a position that what Paul is doing here is prophesying that tongues is just going to stop, it's going to be done away with by themselves. Nothing in the future has to happen, it's just going to stop existing. And the strength of his argument is that grammatically, it does say that tongues is going to cease by itself. And the other strength is that in the church, there's definitely a long period of time where this gift doesn't seem to be being used. Now, I want to address that for a moment, because again, we do have controversy in the church. Is tongues for the life of the church, or was it for the first century? And do we have today what is being practiced legitimate gift, or is it a human thing, or is it a demonic thing? Well, first of all, we do not take our theology from church history. The church has done some things right, and it's done some things wrong. So we don't look at the church and say, that's what we believe because they did it. So we have to go back to the Bible and say, what does the Bible